March 1st, 2018. Thanks for coming to my website. Let me give you an explanation about yesterday's cast, and then you'll understand me a little bit more. I didn't get a chance to say this on the webcast because I was really outraged. I really was. Excuse me. You see, for my entire pastoral career as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the good news of salvation for all men, I mean, that's the way I understood the Bible to read, for all men. One of the primary factors, one of the things that has kept me over the years was the love that he placed in my heart, I'm talking about God, for everyone. And I had to look at myself and turn away and put myself behind. I had to put my culture behind. Many a day when I grew up here in South Central in the black community, a lot of people would tell me, even when I was a pastor, they say, "You're not black enough." I really didn't know what that meant. Well, you need to take more of an Afrocentric view. And I try to tell them, well, because God is not Afrocentric. Then the African Egyptologists tried to communicate to me about my blackness, my melanin, my coarse hair, my overt African features mixed in with everything here, I guess, in this country, because no one's pure anything now. I become a little bit more enlightened. So when I look at the office of a pastor is supposed to love everybody. And concerning Billy Graham, why didn't he speak up? Why didn't he attend the march with Martin Luther King? The nation's preacher? What is it that he didn't care about? I didn't know this. I didn't research it. I was so busy defending biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity. The first century type. That I was not locked into white, black, anything. So I don't want to be misread and misunderstood like that. I'm not talking against Billy Graham like I have no respect for him. As I said yesterday, I watched all of his crusades. My wife and I, my family, grew up on him. When I saw that man preach, I said, yes, yes. Now, when I saw the people coming down the aisle to accept Christ in the Great Crusades, I didn't accept that because I know what I had to do. That wasn't a small walk. There's a walk that determined that I would never, ever, arbitrarily hate or dislike anyone. I am ashamed that he never stood up for civil rights, and I am ashamed that he never stood up for what was right. I am ashamed. Of the conversation that he had with Richard Nixon about Jews, even if you weren't Jewish. I am ashamed. I guess I can say this. I am ashamed for anyone that has a conversation concerning other people and speak with them in low terms. All right, so I apologize if I've offended any of you by having you think that I'm speaking against Billy Graham. I'm not speaking against him. I spoke against him when he came out with these ridiculous statements that everybody's getting to heaven. Everybody is God's favorite child. No, they're not. You know, when you think about someone that gets in a car and runs down a group of people, when you think of a boy who goes into high school and starts shooting innocent children down like animals in the street. No, no, listen. We've turned our backs on everything. I know. Let me talk about the gay community. Also, the gay community is notorious for outrageous acts of foolishness and ignorance. Just like the straight community is just as guilty of it. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I in no way, I'm just thinking that it's ridiculous that unless you mention everything about a person when you bury him, because if they bury me, and they may be very soon, or burn me up, I would rather be cremated. But if they cremate the remains of my body, and I've already been told by my very dear close family, I've tried to share it with all the rest of my family and friends, I would not have a Christian burial or funeral. It will not be held in a church. It will not be officiated by clerics, especially by clerics that is taking money unwarrantedly from people in their own community. People that ought not be told that they owe God anything. I won't have those individuals speaking for anything near my name. I'm sorry. I like what some of the commentators said on the Graham funeral yesterday, is that Graham was a humble man. That's one thing that I do respect about him, that he didn't become the pimp of the age like these pimps have done. I respect the man for that, but I'm having difficulty, because if you're a preacher for America, you're a preacher for all of America, not just a part of it. When I looked at the funeral, of course, the chaplain that gave the closing benediction, the black man, I said, typical black form typical black form, fashionable benediction, quoting the scripture and all of that. Kind of like that bow tie too. But you can't compromise that. Of all the changes that I've had in my life, since I've gotten older, and a lot of people don't like all the changes, the different ideas that I've come to embrace since Lucy's passed away. A lot of people don't like those ideas. They wanted me, the iconic figure in their mind, to stick to a classical kind of Christianity that can keep them safe. I can't be stable for you. And you know, I cannot live in a world. Look, I love my people. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know. I live in South Central. I live amongst these people. I live amongst people that don't appear to have it tied tight. I know. But as I muse this morning, contemplating my day, I have to pay some bills, and I'm going to do that. I just don't get it. If anybody asks me today, John, is there any group of people, are there any human beings that you can honestly say that are beneath the level of respect? I saw on the news this morning on Channel 2 News, I made some coffee and was eating a piece of pastry for breakfast. And on CBS News, they had a picture of a private pilot who had rescued a chimpanzee from the Congo and was bringing that chimpanzee into a free society and was going to care for that chimpanzee because he had worms in his stomach. Cute little monkey sitting on the lap of the pilot, of the white pilot, as a matter of fact. and the white pilot was enjoying the exchange with the monkey. For a moment, I looked at it and I said, oh, that's cute. Then I thought about the Somalis, the Libyans, that are being bombed and poisoned and slaughtered. Oh, God, help me, God, help me. Babies choking on gas. Now they say that the North Koreans helped ship it to the Syrians. I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at that. I'm saying they're killing us. And when I read what Billy Graham said, and he's supposed to represent God Almighty. You see where I'm coming from now? Telling you, I deeply apologize if I've offended anyone. Sometimes, you know, when I do this, it offends. I don't mean to offend, I mean to inform. I don't mean to offend, I mean to inform. That's what I should have said. This is Vivaldi in the background. I like classics. Well, let me fill you in on some things about me. Did some tests. They sent me the tests back to my medical website. I'll be picked up tomorrow morning and taken to the hospital where I have two series of tests. They wanted to up my surgery day to the 6th, but I was impressed upon by a friend of mine that took me to the doctor not to change the date because my daughters are making arrangements. They tell me that the open heart surgery is basically it's repeated so many times that it's a safe procedure. Let me explain to you what I have to do, and maybe this will help some of you further on down the line. I want to fade out on the music a little bit. I so do enjoy that because I don't want to make this sound morbid, you know? I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to, oh, feel sorry for PJ and all that kind of thing. I really don't need that. Just a little morning nausea, that's all. No, I don't want to get that kind of feeling. To expand on it, I was thinking about how I can be more productive, especially in this society. You know, we have a tendency to love our own friends, our own family, our own kind. And one of the things that I've learned over the years of reading my Bible, was that the Spirit of God, when allowed to have free reign in our hearts, minds, and souls, and being, finds us on a different plane. Because it is as if God is peering over the fence watching you. You know what to do. Here's where my sin comes in. I know the right thing to do. But when I peer over the fence to the wrong thing, I want to see what others have seen. And after seeing it and experiencing it, I come to realize Solomon's theme of vanity works. And why did I have to go through the act to see whether it works? Well, simply put, I have to see for myself. And so I don't complain about the consequence of anything in my life because I was told from the beginning that you shouldn't do that. I was reading a story about a black man that died of AIDS. He was gay. He was a very well-known artistic dancer and director, and he worked for a well-known university. And he was dying of AIDS, and he wrote in a major magazine article years ago that if he had to do life all over again, that one night, he would not have done what he did, because that one night determined that he would be leaving this planet early. And what he did to take care of his uncomfortable situation was to go to major outlets, department stores, and buy expensive stuff, and he'd put it in a pile and burn it up. I mean, in some way he received gratification from that. In a sense, he knew that he was dying and he wouldn't have to pay for it, and so he lived it up. In a sense, I was thinking, I said, oh my, if I had a guarantee that I wasn't going to make it, I would have loved to go on another sea cruise, go on a vacation to Dubai, do something I've never done before I leave the planet, because I have credit and I could take, but that wouldn't be right, would it? Because I'd be living off somebody else's dime, trying to have a good time. That's wrong. And if I did something like that, I would hope that in the expanse of eternity, that there's some kind of retribution for spending other people's money and time and then not paying for it. And it's easy to say something like that and laugh about it. I talk with some of these young men and that's what they do. They just laugh about it. But that shows me no connection. No connection with God. You see, there's something, and man, I can't get this out of my head. You have to know that everything is connected in that way. Everything is connected. And I'm one of those individuals that believe, and this is why I'm so hard on preachers, you have been given the greatest task of all, Reverend. And let me tell you guys something. All the sin that I've done, the missing the mark, sin is the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. The sin that I have committed in my life that I can be judged by God for is being intimate with other human beings. And sometimes too intimate. I'll just tell you what mine is. I love human beings. I love them. But my intimacy does not go beyond the pale. See, I'm a preacher. I got to say it. My intimacy does not go beyond the pale of human affection and adult agreement. But I would be judged guilty in some church folks' eyes who hide in the shadows, because everybody is demanding intimacy from somebody else. I don't know too many people that's living on this planet, well, other than killers that go into a high school and start shooting people down. You know, you can always tell a fool when you walk upon him because he's going to show what he is. Doesn't make any difference what color he is. How do I weigh in on the gun situation? I own a pistol, and it's every adult citizen that is sound in his mind to own a weapon and to polish it and clean it and go to the go to the range and shoot it, and going out in the woods and shoot at cans and whatnot. It's just constitutional right under, what's that, Second Amendment? Maybe I should read up on these amendments, huh? Wouldn't make any difference. Because from what I'm saying, coming from Washington, they're changing everything. And everybody in Washington is a crook, it appears now. Let me go back to the preacher deal. Because, see, this is what the main objective is of this cast. I have to talk to you because, you see, you're not feeling me yet. You're not feeling me. If one is truly dedicated. All right, let me show you what it looks like. The Buddhist. How does Buddhist dedication look during the Vietnamese War? In Saigon, the Buddhists was protesting the inhumane practices, and a couple of them burned themselves alive in the middle of Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City. I remember that. Look up the old tapes. That was a true Buddhist. Sacrificed his life. That's his faith. And I remember when that came out, man, it was, oh, why, he's just burning himself into a hell. Wait a minute, you don't know the mess that man was experiencing in his mind? The same thing with a Hindu, the same thing with anybody's individual faith in God. I've come to believe that when that person is, and there are very wise, smart people, I recall, listen. I have to tell you something because I was wrong. I would listen to these gurus and these teachers that they have coming on TV. And I recall when I was a pastor and I would say things like, oh, look at him talking that stuff all wrapped up in an orange robe. And they're flying him all over the country, got him talking Yoga Mishi and Yoga Mashi, and I used to make jokes about it on the radio, and that was wrong. That was wrong. I was wrong. And I'm not trying to make amends before I die. I was wrong. I had no right to do that. That was their faith, their religion. And that is why if I went into a house of worship of any kind, and they said, we have nothing against you, but you're not welcome in here with us. That's their prerogative. It's their house of worship, not mine. I have developed my own. Now, if Mr. Graham had said that, I think that separate but equal is good. Let the blacks have their house of worship, and let us have ours. I would like to know what Billy Graham's response was when the Third Baptist Church in Birmingham was bombed and those children were killed in Sunday school. I wonder what his response was to the Klan that did that. It makes my heart weak just to think about them babies in the room studying about the baby Jesus and the walls blowing out. Windows and arms, legs. Oh, man. Any man. I'm going to tell you, human. I want to tell you young people something. You listen to me. Human life is hard. But when you think deeply about the things that are important, you cannot compromise it. When you think deeply, I'm not asking us to choose sides, because in this country, I think that God is going to judge all of us. Here in Southern California, it's a beautiful day, but they say that by tonight, these clouds I see coming from the west, the ocean, is going to fill the Southern California region and drop tons of water on us. Going to wash what's left in the hills out. That's God's judgment. I see his judgment on this country as he sends all that water in the South. Tennessee, Kentucky, places where I never heard were flooded out. People here in Southern California try to board up everything. Let me end this up by saying this. One of the commandments in the Old Testament to the tribal people of the Hebrews was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, I want to tell you why this is very important to me right now. And I think that it ought to be very important to you. I know that I'm speaking to people because only people listen to my webcast. And every one of you that are listening to my webcast has a heart that pumps blood, a lung that breathes air, a stomach that digests food, veins that carries the sustenance of your body through that pump into the other areas of the body to nourish you, to keep you strong. If you're young, you're athletic. If you're female, you can bear a human being. Since God gives all of that to us, it would be utterly ridiculous for us to look down on any part of his creation and then to say that we are a part of him. And it would be beyond our pale to take the accolades, listen to what I'm saying, and try to hear me out. I'm not a nitwit just talking in a studio here. I'm a man trying to make cognitive dissonance sense of my life as I'm here, because after I'm gone, they'll say everything about me, trust me. Absolutely everything. You might even find some people coming out of the woodwork talking about, "I groped them, I did this, I did that." Don't believe any of it. I want the grope accusations to come out today. Come out now before I die. And ask me, did I do it? And if I did, I tell you, yeah. And while it was taking place, you seemed to be enjoying it. Never, never, ever. Because I'm telling you, if any of us, we judge, if you believe in anything, in any kind of God of justice, don't. Come against any of his creation in such a form that would discredit his name. Because when you attach your name to his name and then you're living like that, that's why as an apologist, I attack all preachers that do not live up to the standard of what biblical Christianity is. Evangelicals alike. I have no, you know what I used to tell them on the radio? I have no favorites. I have no heroes. I have no individuals that I can honestly say that I place above any other individual. I did not, you know, I went to various people's churches and ministries like that, some huge, some small. The small ones trying to emulate the large ones. But when I went into the large ones, I saw the same thing that, I don't know whether Piper feels the same way, John Piper. But when he saw the racism at John MacArthur's church, he addressed it. When he came, I was sitting on the floor. Because I've always wanted to hear from John Piper. And since he was here from the East Coast, one of the guests at MacArthur's conferences, I went to hear him and he spoke about it publicly. He could not help it. He sensed the bigotry, the racism. I was there with Zarex and some few other of my students. And when I saw it, that's when I started, not a vendetta. Why would I do that? Only an last holiest person would do something like that. I'm not the kind of person to do that. And I want to apologize again for my language, if it offends some of you, but it is outrageous what people would do. And those of you that are young and you're getting ready to start your professional career, know this, that if anyone does not personally care for you, they will try to bescathe your name. But when you try to bescathe the name of God by trying to be a hero there, I have no heroes. Please, people, don't have heroes. Don't make me your hero. I'm kind of glad the people that I deal with and run with. And I have new friends from all over. Some of my new friends are skeptical of me because of my background as a Christian. Some of my friends don't trust Christians at all. Because what they tell me, they say, is Christians are two-faced. They only, you know, it reminds me of the old thing when the young man Morio left my house years ago and he was following his gal friend and he went into the high desert up around I forget where it was, Barstow, Bakersfield, something like that, and he was looking for a job, and he went to the church because he used to sit in my home fellowships here, and he went to a church and everything and trying to find love, trying to find somebody that sounded like me. You know what happened when he came back to Los Angeles? He said, man, I went to every church, sat in there, told him what my dilemma was about the job, somewhere to stay. He said, John, I couldn't find one person that would open up a garage, a home, a corner, or anything. One person. And all the churches in Victorville and all those kind of places like that, Lancaster and all that. And I said, son, I'm sorry. I practice an ancient religion where love conquers all. Wow. So, again, I just wanted to take this time because I know that yesterday's webcast was kind of impromptu. I had to deal with it while it was on my mind because I just would have come on today and said nothing. And I don't want the people that know me and know me well to think that I'm welching on an idea, because when it comes time for my death, I hope don't nobody say nothing about me that doesn't justify the life that I live. I don't know how to deal with this one. I got a call, I guess early this morning around 12:30 from a prison. And I don't know who this person is in prison, but I'm gonna open up my phone for one call from them and see what this call is all about. Who's in prison calling me? Well, I'll work on that today. Hey, listen, God bless you, and I hope that I straighten up some crooked spaces. I got to take care of a little business here. And this is interesting because I have to go to my checkbook and start writing checks. Got to pay bills. And that's always a unique thing to do because money runs out. You know how that is. Anyway, God bless you. And thank you so much for coming to my site today. I'm glad that you could take out the time and listen to this further explanation. I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's see. For the month of March, since I featured Eric Reed, I'm going to have to go to the music stack and see what interesting music I can share with you in the month of March as we continue our little journey through communication. Now go to work, work hard, think, keep your mouth shut. You find somebody that doesn't like you, love them. Don't talk back. Guys, don't touch anybody. Don't touch any women. Don't touch any men on the job. Don't brush up against them. Don't touch them. And if they get too close to you, just put your hands up and say, oops, sorry. Like that. Because I heard another man that was supposed to be talking during the Oscars on the news this morning. This was the man that was sitting down next to Kathy Lee, right? Somebody accused him of groping. That's the way they get you. And listen to this one. Whatever happened to Tavis Smiley? Did you ever hear of him since all this stuff came out? And let me handle the groping issue before I get off this. Listen, everybody needs and wants and desires intimacy. Don't try to get it from a person who you think wants to give it to you. What you must do is you must say in this world that we live in today is, hey, I am physically attracted to you. In any way, are you physically attracted to me? And would it be offensive for me to have any conversation with you beyond this point? And if that person said, yes, it would be, then leave that human being right where they lie as if you've never said a word to them. That is a way you protect yourself from being accused of groping somebody. It'll work every time. Don't ever forget that, guys. And gals, same thing. Because you're going to find yourself attracted to men and they looking back at you and they smiling and everything like that. Shoot, I can tell you about a phone call that I got the other day that you or your mama or your grandmama wouldn't believe. But I'm not going into that. Because I know that's how deep it gets. So, God bless. Hopefully, by tomorrow, I have my mind straight on what I'm going to do for some music. Thank you, Eric Reed, for letting me use your music for the month of February. Talk to you folks soon.